Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a moment of silent reflection. This is a public announcement that the meeting is being video recorded and audio recorded and will appear on the district website. A live stream video in real time can be viewed at townhallstreams.com. So this is our very first meeting, so we're going to work through the bugs. Carla said start, so she's on her way. So next up is school funding discussions. We had Ruth Ward with us last time we met, Senator Ruth Ward, and Marjorie Porter is here to talk to us as well. Thank you for taking the time to come and join us.
Thank you for asking me.
Yeah.
Is the black like usual now, or is that just...
That's our new normal.
New normal.
It's our new normal. But the video will only see the back of your head.
I'm so glad. So thank you for having me come in tonight. I wanted to tell you a little bit about what the House goal was when we put our budget forward this year. At the beginning of the term, the majority, the Democrats, met in caucus, and we made a list of our priorities in terms of what we hope to achieve this term. And by and large, by far, overwhelmingly, school funding was at the top of the issue, at the top. People had been out campaigning, and that people were telling them all the time two things, property taxes and school funding. As a matter of fact, which I think I remember, in the spring, you stopped me and said, you got to do something about school funding. And you know, so it's been an issue all along. And there were some people in the Ways and Means Committee, and also in the Finance Committee, and also in the Education Committee, who had been working for a while on a possible solution. And they brought it forth as a number of bills that then got included in our budget. And what we hoped to do was have a three-prong approach to the funding crisis that we're in right now. The first was an immediate assistance to those school districts that are struggling. I know you've heard about Berlin that's had to close their last elementary school, and other districts around the area around the state have been in crisis mode. I could tell that it was getting bad when Conval asked me to file a bill about school funding. Usually you don't think of Conval as being a district that's concerned about where the money's going to come from, but they were, and they asked me to file a bill, which I did. So the first thing we thought we could do is to bring the stabilization grants back to the 2016 levels. They had been eliminated, I think, if you remember, last year. So our first goal was to reinstate those stabilization grants effective immediately, so to bring money into the school districts that needed it right away. That was the first prong. The second prong was to find, we had a lot of surplus revenue come in over the course of the last 6 or 8 months. It's debatable about why, but one of the main reasons was for the Tax Cut and Jobs Act that had passed in Congress down in Washington. A lot of businesses started bringing their money back from overseas and paying taxes on it, and so we got a big burst of money. So some of the funding that we used was some of that money. The second prong was a short-term funding issue to bring back differentiated aid to the school districts. So that had been kind of phased out over time, but we wanted to reinstate it because that gives districts who really need it the most more money than districts that don't. And the way that we funded that was from some of the surplus, but also from extending our interest and dividends tax to capital gains, which brought in a significant estimate of money, about $150 million. The third prong was to establish an independent independent school funding commission to look at how we fund our schools, how other states fund our schools, their schools, if there's any kind of possible way that we can rejigger what we have to fund schools in a better way. So those were our three-pronged approach. Hopefully, by the end of this budget cycle, that commission would be active and would come up with some possible solutions for the next budget cycle. Also, the governor in his budget had gotten rid of the Education Trust Fund. And you know how things work in the government. If we have dedicated funds, they can only be used for certain things. And we had an Education Trust Fund that was only to be used for education. This was the first year that the Education Trust Fund actually had a surplus, and the governor wanted to get rid of the Education Trust Fund and put all that money into the general fund instead of dedicating it to education. The House budget didn't like that idea, and so we kept the Education Trust Fund. We fully funded the special ed reimbursements. What is it that you call that when?
Catastrophic aid.
Yeah, catastrophic aid. It's fully funded in our budget. We reinstated building aid. And there's one more issue that we made sure was in there. Kindergarten, full day kindergarten was funded full day, regular full price. And the Keno money was put into the Education Trust Fund to be used for everything. So in total, our budget included $164 million more in education aid to the districts around the state. And in the process of doing that, I think I asked folks to send you all some articles that have come from nonpartisan organizations so that you could get an idea of what we're talking about. And the Fiscal Policy Institute really does a good job with the numbers, so they had looked at it. Also, Reaching Higher New Hampshire, which if you're not familiar with Reaching Higher New Hampshire, that's a really good organization that you might want to check into, because they do a lot in support of public schools. So they were the ones that did the analysis that showed that over the course of the 2 years of the biennium, Hillsborough Dairying would get approximately $2.5 million more from the state than they are getting now. So you may know how the budget process works in the state. First of all the departments go to the governor and they present their proposals, and the governor works up a budget. That budget comes to the House and we amend it, we vote on it, we send it to the Senate. The Senate gets it, they work on it, they amend it, they vote on it. And then the House and the Senate get together for a committee of conference, iron out their differences, and then it goes to the governor, who either signs it or vetoes it. So the process this year looks like it's going to be kind of an interesting one, okay? Needless to say, there are those in the state who feels that we should not have increased any tax at all. We should be working within the current tax structure, although the current tax structure is decreasing because business profits taxes and business enterprise taxes are being reduced over the course of the next several years. So the feeling was that we should be using that money rather than trying to get a more stable source of income for school funding. I don't want to be political about this, so I'm going to try not to be political about it. In my opinion, we know that the tax structure in New Hampshire we have a structural deficit. There's the way the taxes are structured, that as the expenses go up, the taxes don't, and so we're always in a problem, in a hole. The political philosophy that's been in place for a long time now is that we don't raise any taxes. We don't increase in any new taxes, and we don't raise any taxes. So consequently, the amount that we get in all the time, it sometimes it's higher if it's a good year, sometimes it's lower, but we never, there's no built-in automatic increase if we need it. It takes some political courage to step forward and say, we can find this revenue if we do this tax. And I think the House Democrats put themselves in a kind of a political, not bind, but we had courage to step forward with the tax. The Senate doesn't like it. So the Senate is looking for other sources of revenue. They also have other priorities, and one of their priorities is making sure that the people who give services to people who are mentally ill or drug addicted or disabled or whatever, those people haven't had an increase in salary for a very long time. So one of the Senate's goals is to make sure those people are paid well, because we're losing them. We don't have enough of them. So that's a valid priority, I think. It's not something I'm critical of. I'm just saying they're thinking that a large portion of the money ought to go toward that. The governor has said that he doesn't like this, so he will be vetoing it. So that's where it stands. But I want to let you know that our goal was to try to come to terms with the education funding crisis that we have in this state, that we've had for a long time. Now, I think this is there four school districts that are part of the lawsuit that Conbell is bringing in?
I think as of right now, it's about four.
About four.
Two separate phases of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, we never really solved it the last time, and it wasn't until 2008 or 9 that they even came up with a with an adequacy formula, and that hasn't changed. So you know, you're working with a budget. It's just not enough to take care of the needs of the students and the schools. So we really felt it was important to put some money into education funding. And I know it's a priority for the House Democrats, so when it comes to a committee of conference on the bill, on the budget, that's we're going to be fighting for it. We're not going to just say, okay, we're going to let this go by. You know, we're going to work with them, try to get them to have it. But what the final figure will be, I don't know.
Okay.
But I would certainly keep you informed if you are interested.
Thank you. We would be interested.
Okay. So I'll be glad to. Did I make it clear enough? Did you understand what I was saying?
Yeah.
Yes.
No. Okay. Yes.
So that's where we are.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Marjorie?
Some comments. Marjorie, first of all, I want to thank you. You have been a supporter of the children and the families in this community for as long as I've been here, and I admire you taking the stance that it's not a spending problem, it's a funding problem. And that's a tough thing, because that's not always the popular thing that people want to hear. So thank you for all that you've done for this community. Around that, the 2 million to $2.5 million, certainly that's going to have a lot of people dancing a jig, but it's a temporary fix from what I'm looking at.
It would be, because it would be money that we're finding now to help out now,
right?
And we're hoping to find future monies,
right? The court, I had some questions around New Hampshire retirement system. The state used to put money into that. I think it was somewhere in the vicinity of 35%. Since they've stopped doing that, they've pushed that burden back entirely, pretty much, from what I can see, on real estate taxes. So is there any light at the end of the tunnel? Is there any hope that the state will step back up and go back to funding the state retirement system?
The House did pass a bill that would reinstate. I'm trying to remember. You can't ask me that question.
It's okay.
It's not up to 35%, but I think it was 15%, and then to 25% maybe in the future. That did pass the House, and I don't know where it stands in the Senate. I don't think it went into the budget. I don't remember it being talked about as a budget item. But we're very aware of that situation. Okay? And on the other end, we're also aware that our retirees haven't had a cost of living increase in almost 10 years. So another bill that passed us, I don't know how it will go, was to give a 1.5% cost of living increase to public employees. But there's consternation about that because it's unclear who has to pay, whether it would be the municipalities and the school districts that would be paying that or whether it would come from the state retirement system.
And the stabilization fund, just for clarity, the 4% a year for 25 years, one of the years recently in our budget, 4% of the stabilization fund was $225,000, which meant that this board and the administration went into building a budget with $225,000 less in revenue. And if you extrapolate that out just for 10 years, not even a 25, that's a $2.25 million decrease in funding that the superintendent and the board who's ever sitting in these seats 10 years from now is going to be getting. They're going into a downward slope that I don't know how any town is in the state is going to be able to afford it. So the stabilization, is it a moratorium? Is it a permanent, where this was a bad idea, we're going to not do this, or is this?
I think the idea with stabilization was that it would eventually phase out. But I think, and I think part of it was because there was the idea that our demographics are changing and our school population is decreasing, so the stabilization grants were supposed to be there to keep it going until you could adjust to that, and then it went away. I know as a temporary fix this year, it right now, keeping them at the 2016 levels was the fix for these people that are closing their schools and getting rid of, you know, 10% of their teachers. And you've read the news, and there's people, school districts really hurting. So that was one way to hold it off. Whether that will continue will depend on what's the result of the commission that looks at school funding and what solutions come forward on that. You know, we went through this all in I think it was 1999 or 2000. Is that when the second Claremont suit?
My taxes went down significantly when that happened, when they restructured it.
Yeah, yeah. So the solution that we never really found a solution. The solution that we found was another property tax. We call it the statewide property tax, but we're paying that. I mean, we're paying our school tax for the town, and we're paying the statewide property tax. And one of the things that's bothered me, the statewide property tax, we don't bring in enough with that in Hillsborough Deering to meet the state's obligation to us for adequacy aid. So we get money from the general fund here in Hillsborough. But in some communities, the statewide property tax that they pay is way more than what the state owes them. It's a statewide tax, but they get to keep it. So instead of sending the millions of dollars back to the state so we can send it out to other towns, they didn't like that idea. That was donor towns. So those communities got to keep the money. But the communities are supposed to be using it for their schools. So that's why we have these wide disparities in these towns with a lot of second vacation homes and that kind of stuff, where the school population is low, but the values of the property is high. Some of those school districts are spending $30,000 and $35,000 a year for those kids to go to school. And it makes a very unequal system, obviously. And the Constitution says it has to be fair and equal. So we really have to look at how we're doing it, and we really have to take some scary steps maybe for some people. But as long as we keep saying we don't have the money, it's a matter of will of finding it. So.
What we used to call a catastrophic aid, which I guess is now called the special education aid.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We were only receiving somewhere around 60% of what the formula was entitled to. Okay. Is there any hope that by changing the name we'll start to get the other 40%?
Well, but our budget had 100% in there.
Yeah.
Okay. So it depends on what the other bodies decide to do. We thought it was important enough to make sure it's in there.
Yeah. And the last one, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
If you don't mind. Building aid, we went through a process of talking about building a performing arts center here, possibly in town, and that didn't pass the, you know, the muster to spend the money on the architectural drawings to get a better sense of what we were really talking about. But we've talked frequently, Mr. O'Rourke, myself, and other people have talked about some sort of change in the structure of the high school, adding courses that were career-centered, hands-on, tech kind of things, carpentry, cooking, bringing some of those things back. Is there any, we couldn't do that in the existing structure,
right.
Is there any hope on the horizon on the building aid?
Sure. I have a feeling that's going to be one of the first things that the Senate cuts out.
Okay. Because the middle school mortgage is almost over.
Yeah.
We're about 2 years away from paying off the mortgage on the middle school. And it's for a time for long-term planning for a town to look at, okay, we've paid off this big nut, as they call a mortgage and the bond, and is it time to look at what are the needs, and is this a time to make that transition? But if there's not, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear your response, Mr. Porter. I'm sure somebody's acting up in the back there.
I didn't say anything.
Okay, all right, thank you. Well, thank you very much.
I wanted to ask, while I'm here, of the things that I mentioned, the stabilization grants, the catastrophic aid, the differentiated aid, if we had to get rid of some of those things and in order to keep one thing, what would be the thing that you think we should fight for the hardest? You don't have to answer this right now. But think about it, because the committees of conference will be happening in June, and mm-hmm. it will be helpful to know from folks what they think we should be fighting for.
I know you're chomping at the bit to answer that.
No.
Okay.
I think the board should answer that.
Yeah, we can think about that. I do agree with Bob about the building aid. I think that's for this community in order for us to grow and bring some of the much needed skills back.
Right.
We need that in order to grow, to bring, you know, cooking and shop and those kinds of things back.
Those things are important.
Yeah.
And training for people wanting to go to trades. And,
you know, I used to have a dream when I worked here that we had an on-site childcare center, mm-hmm. that the young people from middle school on up would spend time there learning child development and parenting skills and that sort of thing, and the people that work here could bring their children here, and or some community people, or mm-hmm. even students who have children. Yeah. So trust that in your little thing, the things that you're going to bring back.
On the dollar side of what to fight for the hardest, if you look at Conval's determination, they use the current state formula.
Yes, they do.
And using that, they're looking at doubling or possibly tripling the aid, and with the 36-36 being the foundational number that we're looking at, that's a difference of $7,000 per student here, which is the equivalent of $7 million a year. I vote for that one as a priority, because the state's not living up to their end of it.
Conval gave a wonderful presentation to the Education Committee as well. They made a good case, and that's one of the reasons why I brought the bill forward, even though we knew it wasn't going to pass. It's been retained,
mm-hmm.
so we still have it to work on, but it made the case so clearly that here we're saying it's, you know, we're going to increase the adequacy aid by $250 a kid, and that's ridiculous. That's just unreasonable. It's not reasonable.
$7 million off of our $22+ million budget would have an awful lot of people in this community very, very happy.
Can you tell me now, what is the school tax rate?
$29.50.
And what's the total town tax rate?
That's total.
29 is
that's the school. That's the town.
Total.
And we're about 20 of that, aren't we? Give or take.
I thought it was 19.
Yeah, we're. A large portion of that is us.
Yeah. Well, of course it is. It's expensive to educate children. It's not cheap.
Yeah. So we do appreciate all that you're doing for us. Does anybody else have any comments or questions?
And please contact me if you have any questions or concerns or if there's anything that I can do for you at the State House, because I do enjoy doing that. And the fourth grade hasn't come.
No, not yet.
No. I don't know. I didn't see it. I haven't seen them on the list.
I don't think I've seen them yet.
We can look into that.
Yeah.
What is it?
The fourth grade. Fourth grade. Usually takes a field trip.
I always like to take to meet them.
Yeah.
Maybe they did early in the year, but I haven't. I watched that very carefully.
Don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't think they've gone yet. Usually it's later in the year.
Yes,
if I recall from when my son went last year, but
yes.
I haven't seen this. It's not been in the wakelet.
It was great when you guys came last year.
And I loved
that. Was so much
fun.
The kids really loved it.
And at the high school as well.
Yeah.
I'm very anxious to come in. I'd rather keep it completely nonpartisan, but keep it how the state works, because people don't know how the state works.
No, it's very true.
It's very different than the feds. So,
thank you very much.
We
appreciate your time, Mark.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And good luck to you, Josh.
Thank you.
Okay. Correspondence. I did just want to briefly touch upon some correspondence that's come in via email. There apparently was some publication. There's been a bunch of letters submitted to one of our local papers. There was an editorial that sparked some student response. So they have made it to my email. I've got letters from Megan Pushy. I've got letters from Meredith Deneau, Catherine Ort, Natasha DeHood, and Lillian Denzel, and they just keep coming. So I just want to recognize, they're very well-written letters, but I don't want to read all of them. They've been published. If any of the board members want to see them, if they did not read that publication, they are more than happy to have those. In addition to that, we do have a couple of pieces of correspondence. We have a letter from Alex Luchar. Dear members of the school board, Superintendent Hassett, district administration, and the SAU staff, on behalf of the Hillsborough Dairy Federation of Teachers, I would like to thank all of you for your kindness and generosity during Teacher Appreciation Week last week. Monday's t-shirts were wonderful and embodied the collaborative theme of this year well, with its message of being one united district across our various towns and schools. It also helped send a visual reminder that we are all on the same team when we see each other wearing them in different settings and at various different district events. Additionally, the lunch provided on Tuesday by the school board from Taco Biondo was very well received as always. I believe I speak for all when I say that any day that features Taco Biondo is a good day. All kidding aside, both gestures from the board and district administration genuinely demonstrate your commitment to recognize the good work that the teachers and professional staff of our district do each and every day. These symbols go a long way to keeping morale healthy in the closing weeks of the school year and in preserving the collaborative climate that we have all worked hard to create here at SAU 34. Thanks again for all that you do to support a positive teaching and learning environment in our communities. Sincerely, Alex Luchar, President of HDFT. And then we also have a note from Jill Cover. Dear members of the school board, thank you for providing us with the wonderful lunch on Monday. It is always appreciated, Jill Cover. So that is what we have for correspondence. Recognition. We have one very special recognition today. We're going to recognize our very own Josh Marshall. This is his last official board meeting before he goes off and graduates. So we just wanted to thank you for all that you've done. You have had a very nice voice when you, I know you keep it quiet, but when you speak, you add a lot. So we appreciate all that you've done, and we wish you the best of luck. So we do have a plaque, and of course, it's not a celebration without cake.
Without cake.
So thank you. I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
No, Josh knows how I feel about him. he represents the student body extremely well.
Thank you.
This backdrop now for the program.
This is for you. Coming for a photo op?
Good timing.
Oh, time for a photo op?
Photo
especially
op?
With the black curtain.
Oh!
So, let's see. Okay. Yep. Keep it straight. There you
straight?
Go. Yep. There we are. You're still in it, Bob.
Crop us out.
Cut me out.
All right. Cake. I'm going to take like a 5-minute pause and have some cake. That work for your last official student report?
Well, it's also like my third, so Didn't do it very frequently.
Your third and final.
Yeah. So at the high school, it was a pretty busy week. We had the sad mock car crash and a speaker on the dangers of poor driving decisions. The music program took a trip to see Finding Neverland at the Capitol Center for the Arts. Drama Club put on a production of Check Please, which is a play. The AP language class had its annual post-AP test Gatsby party, and prom was on Saturday. At the middle school, a large group of 7th graders were brought into the superintendent's club and were recognized Thursday night, I believe. At the elementary school, they have been working with words in kindergarten, and I know one classroom was involved in a dinosaur day. And to quickly speak to the matter of my replacement, at the present moment, no one has filed any paperwork to replace me, and the deadline for that was Friday last. So, at the present moment, we're probably going to have, for the next meeting, we'll probably just have the student body president-elect do it.
Okay.
As that's generally the policy. But moving forward, I would assume that we will attempt to find a more permanent replacement, provided that the student body president doesn't feel that it would be appropriate for them to continue in that position for the remainder of next year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I would update you, but I really won't. Someone will update you on that.
Okay.
I presume when someone starts sitting in the seat you don't know, they'll introduce themselves at some point.
Excellent.
And so that's I'm working with Lewis Nordland on that, so we'll get back to you on that.
All right.
And I believe that's it for the student report.
Okay. Thank you. No presentations, correct?
No.
Okay.
Got some things coming up with Jim, but they'll be under my report.
Okay. Public comment. This is an opportunity for members of the public to share an idea or concern with the board. Comments are limited to 5 minutes per person. It is not the practice of the board to immediately respond to comments made. Is there any public comment at this time? Yes, Mr. Segre.
As I have said before, I feel the need to, in light of comments that were made a little while ago, just because we have one building does not mean that you need to immediately find some way to take money from the taxpayers. You don't need to find something. That money, once that's paid off, our taxes should drop because it no longer need that. We have three buildings, been putting money into all kinds of things for keeping them in line. The population of the students number of students have gone down since these buildings. We had a lot more students in the same number of buildings previously. So please stop doing that. And please, board members, direct your superintendent to stop doing that.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Board response to public comment?
Just that we have four buildings, if you count the old school.
Thank you. Board discussion items. We have a second reading of policy DAF, administration of federal grant funds.
Does anyone have any questions? I mean, this is a second reading, so yeah.
I don't think we need to labor through it, but is there anybody have any questions that might have popped into their brains when they reviewed it the second time? Okay. Moving on, summer retreat. So if you guys recall, the last time we met, we talked about summer retreat. We decided we did want to move forward with a summer retreat. We had requested potentially looking into a Friday as a date. Do we have any luck potentially looking at availability?
I'm going to point that to the head scheduler.
That's why I'm kind of looking at both of you.
Carol, where do we leave off on Fridays? Was that... I should refresh my memory. It was just before the meeting we were talking about.
It looks like the 19th or the 12th. I mean, it depends on if anybody's taking
vacation. I think we kind of were talking about the 19th the last time we met. If that is that a good date for everybody?
19th or
July 19th?
Yes.
That's a Friday.
Correct. We were just talking
and
about...
Friday's horrible for me. I can't do Fridays.
Okay. Well, Carla can't do any other day of the week because she'd have to take off time from work. So we
evening.
Unless we do it after
like a Thursday.
Or unless we did an evening.
What time can you start?
Evening? It's pushing it to get here for 6, but...
So we could do a little bit of a later session versus starting earlier, if that would accommodate everybody.
6:30 start?
Yeah, 6:30 start. We can bring coffee.
For a couple different days.
We can bring coffee. So going back to an evening, you wouldn't have to take off work. Could we go back to a Monday?
Yeah, whatever.
Does that work?
That's fine.
Rich, would that work? We went back to, what's that, the 15th, 14th, something?
It was the 15th, 16th it was initially.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, July...
Is that a regularly scheduled Hillsborough during school board meeting night?
July 15th would be if we didn't...
But normally we don't have meetings in July.
We don't have July.
Yeah. So, I mean...
That's the third week.
So we could keep it as a quote-unquote normal start time. So we'll just push back 6:30 so it gives you a little bit of breathing room. Okay, and then we'll just extend it. 9, probably the latest. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Does that work?
Yes. Monday, July 15th.
15th, starting at 6:30. Does that work, everybody? Rich, is that okay? Okay.
Yep. Location.
Location. Do you have a prep? Do you guys have a preference?
Do we need to do it more than one day? Because. Was it 2 days?
No, we're just going to do one.
Last year, we'll just do a little bit longer. It might
be
a bridge. Last year was like 4 hours, but I think we could bridge it.
Well, depending on what we... I think the next part of that is topics. So if we have a meaty topic agenda, we can look into potentially having 2 days if we think we need it. But ultimately, we'd like to keep it one.
Do we want to tentatively schedule the 16th if we have an overflow? Kind of like we do with the work sessions?
Yeah, we can do that. We'll do a... Would that work? Okay, placeholder for the 16th. Rich, does that work too? Paul?
16th.
Placeholder. Backup.
Sure.
Okay.
7, 6, 8.
Not yet.
Okay.
16. Back. Topic. We talked about you wanted to do
community outreach.
Community outreach. You found something out of the school board training, something but something.
Yeah, I got a rubber here.
Is it the public relations piece?
I think it was, yes.
Look at increasing test scores.
Okay. So are you looking to have a presentation, a brainstorming session? What was your thought on that?
Brainstorming.
Having Dr. Crawford speak to us, or...
Yeah, principals, teachers, parents, if they want to send something in, that's fine.
Maybe a little bit more global, setting our goals. If we have any information from the strategic plan, we might be able to look at that and kind of integrate that a little bit from the district level. But just setting what our goals would be, which would include, if we have any brainstorming ideas for, helping to support good test scores as well as everything else. Just throwing it out there.
I think Paul's looking at having like a deeper dive.
Yeah.
For all stakeholders.
Concentrating.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we can brainstorm on that a little bit, noodle on that, see how we can work on that. Goal setting.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, what did you two find out at the new school board training about the school board association has a public chipped in for?
No, it's not the school
board
association.
School board?
It's the Southeast school districts.
Oh,
so like
okay.
Rockingham County, essentially, they've teamed up to split
okay.
a PR consultant
okay.
To do PR for those schools. So that way they're not all paying for it, but they're each paying a portion. And and actually that's all I know. I don't know if they're coordinating their efforts or if they're doing their own, but they're sharing the consultant That's what I do now for, like, you know, digital and other.
And you said southeast, so we're not.
South, yeah, instead of the southwest district.
So we're not part of that, so we wouldn't be able to take advantage.
We wouldn't be able to take advantage of that, but we might, if we wanted to explore that possibility, that's, maybe that's something we do.
To talk to other districts about making it different. For our area.
Our superintendent is part of the Southwest superintendent. So
you're looking at potentially putting together like a Southwest version of what they're doing
in the Southeast?
So you're talking about the Southwest school board members forming an association to do the PR?
Just the, well, the districts. It doesn't have to be
the share boards.
Share the cost of a PR consultant.
Okay, does anybody want to look into that? I don't necessarily know that retreat topic yet. Does anybody want to take that as a homework assignment and look into that piece of it? Because
With Erla, because I know Erla has interest in it too. You know, we can make some phone calls and
look into that. Okay.
See what they're doing, and maybe even reach out to the PR firm.
Okay. Any other brainstorming topics? Does the superintendent have any thoughts?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Rich, did you have any thoughts that you wanted for?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. So that's a good starting point.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of dates, is there anything else on the summer retreat that we want to talk about right now?
We had curriculum.
Curriculum? To a curriculum review? It's going to be the Dr. Crawford show. Hope those dates work for you, Dr. Crawford.
Are we talking about presentations on curriculum there, or is this a school board? Is this a school board retreat, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that was just
something a goal
that I remember.
Or
we
want
to talk about brainstorm.
Yeah. I wrote it down.
Okay.
It was brought up.
Okay. Well, I think in planning for planning purposes, if we want other people to come in and speak with us, we need to give that.
Well, maybe
We've never had the curriculum person at the school board retreat before, so we're volunteering Ms. Crawford,
right.
Dr. Crawford, for this. Just a point of interest.
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking more about our goals for curriculum, what we'd like to see?
Okay.
I mean, like, I just wrote it. Yeah. I said I wrote it down, and I don't remember exactly how it.
Maybe even like a quick review of what we have in place. I mean, I think some of us know. And then goals for that, and even if there's any kind of a review process.
Let's leave that open, and we can I can have an offline conversation with Dr. Crawford, because I don't want to volunteer her for something that is way above and beyond. And it might be that she could provide us with a take, like the goals, and we'll review them and then match up what we are thinking of.
Just to throw out there, too, maybe this is something for the board to have that discussion, and then if we have, you know, working issues afterwards, we bring it back and have it come to a board meeting, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's different ways, I guess, we can address it.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't we devote a significant amount of time this meeting for team building?
Yeah.
The five of us?
Yeah.
Because we are a board. I mean, we have a new member. The board's changed significantly. We probably should spend
team building
a good amount of time talking amongst the five of us as to our roles, our responsibilities, where we see the board going, so that we can all hopefully be on the same page.
No, I agree.
That's perfect. There's some information.
Yep,
from
team
that.
Building, and then also almost like a self-assessment on what we did well, what didn't work well, things of that.
Yeah, we have in place that we voted on last year, the board goals. Maybe we can have a copy of that to review ahead of time to discuss.
So we can look at some of that stuff, but I think, like Rich said, spending a lot of time looking at our board cohesiveness is probably going to make the most sense for the retreat itself. We can pull some of that other stuff into a board presentation, per se. So we'll start with that.
Did you say board self-assessment? Because that's been talked about for seven years or so, and I don't think we've ever really had, there's ever been any traction in that as to how did you do as a board, what could you have done better. I think that's an opportunity of a retreat.
Lessons
kind
learned.
Of thing.
I
think focusing on a particular thing that would be normally on a school board agenda item is more of a goal that you would be setting. If we're going to ask somebody, if you want me to have Dr. Crawford do a presentation on curriculum or on scores, that should be a regular board meeting.
Yep.
I think we've drifted
I think we've got enough of what these other topics, goal setting, team building, self-assessment, lessons learned, community relations, or controlled items.
Typically in the past, the newspapers have very nicely let it be a team building kind of thing. The public, other than maybe one or two people might show up at this, but it's an opportunity typically for people to let their hair down and talk about what their concerns are working as a board. But again, if you want to expand the role of what the retreat means.
I think there's enough.
Yeah.
Team building, self-assessment, lessons learned, goal setting, community relations. That's a good chunk of time. And if we're looking to start at 6:30 and end at potentially 9, that's going to fill all that time. So well, I think
that's a very healthy agenda.
I agree.
Are we going to videotape it?
That's to be determined.
I know, I think a few of us mentioned it curriculum too, but I know when I brought it up, I was thinking mainly just from the board point of view of what that kind of could fall into our self-assessment too, in terms of, as a board, what we'd like to sort of...
And that could be something that we compile, compile a list of things we want to see coming into future agendas, coming into the next academic year.
Right, and then, because then again, having Dr. Crawford come to a school board meeting would probably be much more effective.
I think if you're going to have a presentation on something, it's not a retreat, it's a board meeting.
Exactly.
Correct.
Yeah.
In the past, Steve Hahn liked to take some of the lead in the retreats, and I think one year he asked people to bring something in. I think it was a sweatshirt, to wear a sweatshirt that was important to you and why. We get into it was a team building kind of thing, and so I don't know if you want to take that role on, Catherine, or be the facilitator.
I will noodle on that topic. I will noodle on that for a little while, and we'll circle back on that. So at least we have a starting point. We'll circle back on all of this at a future date. While we're talking about dates. Typically, we take the month of July off, like Rich mentioned, for standard meetings, meaning that we would pick back up for the August 5th, I believe.
Yes, that's the first.
Would be the first Monday of August. Chris is on vacation, is that true, Sam?
Yeah.
So we just wanted to, before we, is everybody else going to be able to attend that day? Perfect. We want to make sure we have four.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know the past we've had issues in August. That's why I was.
Okay. All right.
Can I add something?
Yes.
While we're talking about dates.
Yes.
If we have any, we have to have at least one more meeting to talk about our goals for negotiations.
Correct.
With the support staff.
Correct.
When we schedule that meeting, it would be nice to have a discussion amongst the board members as to when that meeting is with the administration so we can all be on the same page.
Okay.
Do you want to have that now, or I don't know if that was later on?
We can. It's board discussion. We can discuss it.
Yeah, we met today in the record.
Well, not that. Not
just the date.
Right.
We were going to see if June 3rd was appropriate that all the board members could make before the board meeting. And then if we need a second one, our attorney was recommending not waiting until the next board meeting, which is the 20th, I think.
Well, normally we have a meeting outside of a regular board meeting. We meet in the evening just because people work. It's hard. I know you work. I work. So it's hard for us to get here during the day. So I would suggest that we pick a night that's not a board meeting so that we can take the time to discuss this. That's what we've done in the past.
So
I would recommend we
need a non-meeting.
If we all do it June 3rd, maybe that week would be.
But we talk about scheduling it here.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah. So if we look at that week, when's your next meeting? Like formal?
Let's see, this is what day is today?
20th.
The 3rd is our next scheduled board meeting.
No. I meant your support staff negotiation meeting. Yeah.
You talked about a non-meeting.
I wanted to just see when's your next support staff negotiation meeting. Do you have that set yet or no?
It is.
Third.
Yes, it was June. That was for the non-meeting. So we're actually not until, yeah, we don't have a meeting set for that until August because we're going to change proposals.
All right. So can anybody do the 4th? Can anybody do week of June 3rd? Or do you want to do the 10th since it's the off week and we can just meet at a normal time?
That's well, if we do a separate meeting than a board meeting, we might be able to go longer than an hour and do it one night. Otherwise, we may
right.
need a second.
We're trying to jam-pack too much into the board meeting nights for the sake of right. feasibility, which is fine, but I think we also need to take advantage of the off weeks that we're not meeting to do in some of the other stuff. So if we need a non-meeting, it might make sense to do it on the 10th at our regularly scheduled time in the evening to accommodate working
yeah.
folk. And
it's a Washington school board meeting.
Yeah, that's yeah.
So Patty, myself, and Jen will be in Washington. So
how about on the 6th, Thursday the 6th?
We can't do the 6th. It's the puppet performance.
Oh, yeah.
The 13th?
It's the last day of school.
No.
No,
the
13th's
not the last day of school.
Oh, you're right. I was hoping.
I'm like, there's a field trip that day, but it's not the last day of school.
11th, 12th?
4th? What? If we did the evening, is there a... Do you have a,
the
11th?
This
yeah.
11th, 12th, and 13th is good with me.
I'm hesitant to do two nights in a row for meetings. Because
that's fine.
It kills...
So about the 11th?
11th
wouldn't
fine.
Be the 11th at 6:30...
Is it okay with the administration?
What day are you looking for?
Tuesday, the June 11th. Why is Laura shaking her head now?
It's Washington graduation or celebration.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I hate this time of year.
Thank you. I knew that, but I forgot.
How about...
12, 15, 16. I think it'd be helpful to do it that week because then our team is...
There's a band
to...
concert on the 12th. So that's
oh, that's
fun.
Right.
What about the 5th?
5th is... The 5th is awards night.
Where?
Somewhere.
The middle school.
It's at the high school.
High school.
Somewhere. I just have it on my calendar. It's awards
that's,
night.
That's the big scholarship.
That's
award
the big.
Tonight.
That's the big thing.
Oh, okay. For
how about
seniors?
The what about the week though? After then? The
is it too much to do June 4th?
June 4th.
It's back to back. It's the only thing. It's two
nights. Just trying to avoid.
June 4th is a Washington school day.
Oh
no, June 4th is a Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday.
Oh, all right. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a different thing. That's a Washington prep meeting. Sorry, I had the wrong time of day. Sorry.
Okay. More of the calendars.
What about the 29th or 30th of this month?
Oh, yeah.
I know that attorney files had really wanted us to in the first couple of weeks in June, because then the third week we're going to have to meet.
Yeah, but he's talking about May 29th or 30th.
May 29th or 30th.
Can we do that?
Yeah, that would...
I could do either of those. And there's nothing, I don't think, going on? Would that work?
Yeah, I'm doing it. Yeah, May 29th may work.
Either day? Why don't we let the attorney pick one of those two?
Yeah.
May 29th, or what was the other one?
Lori?
The 30th.
How far in advance are you wanting numbers for that discussion? Because don't we need to have the grids worked out and samples pulled together for that discussion?
Yes.
Oh.
Can you have it done then?
I can bring it to the meeting.
For review at the meeting.
Okay.
That's pretty okay. I think it's tight to promise it to the board. I have conferences in and out of the office Thursday and Friday, and Monday's a holiday.
Yeah. Okay.
What are the 2 dates? May
29th and 30th.
So
May 29th and May 30th.
Let's see what the availability is. If nothing else, have it for us at the meeting.
Is there anybody who will be attending on the 30th, the Performing Arts Potluck Dinner and Awards Ceremony, because that's what's going on Thursday, May 30th?
No.
I don't know anything about it. Are you?
It's a potluck dinner. No, certainly I would be here. I just didn't know if anybody here was going to be left out.
Okay, so let's look for those 2 dates. If those 2 dates do not work, then we will have to go into the last week of school. Or the last week of June.
Right.
It's just...
Yeah. So, Carol will let us know?
Yes, Carol will work.
So, timing, are we
thinking?
6:30 to...
The end of June.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody's stepping on once
yeah.
school ends.
Okay. So let's.
So what are we thinking?
And the fourth was yucky. Is that what we said? The fourth was something.
Oh, it was.
It was 2 days in a row, but it was a yucky. Besides it being 2 days in a row.
Wasn't it something in Washington that day?
No, I can't remember.
That meeting's in the morning. It's the week after that, I think, was Washington.
The week after that was Washington celebration.
Okay, so let's do 29:30 or 4.
6:30.
Those are Tuesday, Wednesday.
Tuesday.
And a Monday.
Tuesday.
No, okay. I'm sorry.
Tuesday.
Tuesday, Wednesday, or Tuesday.
Okay. Wednesday, Thursday, Monday.
That was supposed to be
Tuesday.
So sorry to have exact meetings.
6:30.
This is a very busy time of year.
6:30.
6:30.
To 8:30.
Sure.
Is that okay?
If we get it done, we can finish it.
Okay. Let's see what the availability is. The fourth might be more preferred for Lori's with a little bit more wiggle room and time.
Yeah.
So I don't mind 2 days in a row, so let's see what
that
might be preferred. All right, are we good with that?
The fourth might be what Chris is available for. Our time
okay.
Plans. Yeah.
All right, that's it for discussion items. Superintendent's report.
Okay, you have the appointments, leaves, and resignations. It was revised today. We have Caitlin Casciarelli, who is going to transfer from high school French teacher to the high school school to career coordinator. Was in the last one or this one, Lou Yelgin put in retirement. Mm-hmm. So we also did have an additional teacher this past week put in her resignation papers, Helene Newbold and Vicki Wheeler.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So.
All right. Yep.
All right, moving on. I would ask that Mr. O'Rourke come up and be prepared to do three of the next items on the list. You can keep him busy.
Yep.
I'm gonna leave
me
alone.
So you can
move the cake if necessary.
I'm gonna try not to bore the heck out of you for a few minutes here.
Things that I'm going to talk with you about tonight. The first one is around a survey that we completed in the district. A few months ago, I had an opportunity. Yale University put out to all the department of eds, state department of eds in New England, for principals to apply for a fellowship. So two principals from each state were accepted into the Yale fellowship. I was one, and the principal at Bishop Brady was the other. Since then, they've added a couple other support people, like social workers. I believe there is a special ed coordinator out of Massachusetts, and a couple other positions like that that have been added to the fellowship. So one of our main goals is to complete an SCATE survey, which stands for School Compassionate Cultural Analytical Tool for Educators. So we've completed the first round of that survey with staff. It's not a survey that students do, it's just a survey that staff do. And really, the survey looks at some indicators, which I'll get to. Our focus is on mental health and teen suicide, and what can we do in New England to create trauma-informed schools, trauma-sensitive schools. So the SCATE, it helps us to identify strengths, and it also gives us an opportunity to create a plan for professional development on some of the things that we may not be recognizing. I bring that up because in my first, it's done through Zoom, so it's everybody in New England on Zoom.
I'm not really a big fan of that, but it's interesting. One of the questions that they asked of us was, how well do you deal with teen suicide or mental health in your schools? And we all had to answer with some of the things that we did. My answer was really around what we do for students through our school counseling center, psych services, our risk screenings when students have made some sort of statement that worries us that there's some self-harm potentially. Obviously, students that have done self-harm or self-injurious behavior, that we have a lot of steps and a lot of supports in place that we do for students for help. Dr. Mason, who is the head person at Yale who's running this, said, "That's great. Sounds like you're doing some wonderful things after students have either said that they wanted to hurt themselves or actually have hurt themselves. You've got a lot of things in place. What do you do to identify the precursors before that even takes place?" And every principal that was on Zoom, it was just silent, and everybody was like, "I don't know." The awareness of those pieces just are things that we really have a good gauge on. So this survey allows us, as a staff and as a building and as a district, to see where do we fall in these eight components. It also allows us to report progress on non-academic things through ESSA, that's aligned with ESSA, homelessness, hunger, mental and behavioral health, and so on. These are the eight factors that the survey looked at. So I don't know if you can read that that piece of it. I cut and pasted or did a snip to put that on there because it was the best way to get all that information on one slide. That's basically the descriptors of the eight factors. So you can read that for yourselves. The data right now is being compiled into those eight factors. So just one of those factors had 15 or 18 questions. It was like a 100-question survey that the teachers took. And we did it in the high school, the middle school, the elementary school, Washington, and the staff out of the alternative program. So we're waiting to see what those numbers look like and what do those numbers mean for each school. So some of the examples of trauma and the effects on development, you can see that exposed to emotional abuse, and what the research has shown us in most cases, if a student has experienced the emotional abuse, they've also experienced or been exposed to physical abuse. That could be that emotional abuse or physical abuse was taken on them, or they've experienced it as a bystander to a family member, sibling, mom, dad. Deficits in self-regulation, negative self-concept, and ADHD. Now, these things all affect the prefrontal cortex. During a traumatic event, the prefrontal cortex, when it's impaired, then your defense circuit within your prefrontal cortex takes over. It's now in control, and this is where you get that automatic survival response from students, that fight or flight response. It affects decision-making, thinking about future, planning, complex thinking. It's also one of those things that when students recognize that trauma, it could be a person, it could be a teacher who, a teacher in the high school that they just come up from the middle school, and all of a sudden the teacher reminds them of a family member or somebody who was a friend of a family from years ago that caused this trauma. That can set off some of these traumatic events for students. Smell, loud noises, sound, and this is where they really get into that fight or flight. A couple of examples of what that might look like. I'll give you two quick examples. One example might be a student in the classroom who is constantly sitting themselves by the door because when they're at home, they're making sure that they're in a place where they can escape an uncomfortable situation. So as a teacher, any adult in the building, hopefully we can start to recognize some of these things and some of these behaviors in students. Student is sitting by the door because that's their escape. Teacher wants that student closer to the board or on the other side of the room to participate in the group activity. Now that student starts to shut down. Now the teacher challenges the student a little bit more because they're not understanding why they're at the door. They haven't had that conversation. And then this is where the student then becomes aggravated and agitated and either is combative verbally or just gets up and leaves the room. So that's one example of what this might look like in a classroom. The other example might be a student who's sitting in class. The teacher is talking to that student, asking that student questions. The student can't process this information. They're having a hard time with it, but now all eyes are on them. Their peers are just completely focused on them. The only way they can get out of the situation is to have a behavioral outburst, whether it's just standing up and getting verbally assaultive or standing up and leaving. So these are the types of behaviors that we start to see in students when their prefrontal cortex is impaired through this trauma. You can see some of the solutions up there. And these are solutions that are research-based. Obviously, they're not going to work in every setting, but they have worked in multiple settings to be able to say that these are effective solutions. Staff forming relationships, quality relationships with students, having social-emotional learning, independent from school activities, taking some time, whether it's every day, once a week, once a month, to engage in some sort of social-emotional learning activity. Have a goal school-wide to have SEL discussions. Restorative practices. Currently at the high school, and I believe there's a team of people also at the middle and elementary school that went to a two-day workshop on restorative practices. Joy is working with five teachers that have become leaders in the building around explaining what these restorative practices might look like. It's not just, when you hear restorative practice, restorative justice, you think alternative to suspension. It's really more than that. It's getting to know the students, getting build the community, understand where everybody's coming from, having conversations with students and adults in the building so that everybody is aware of all those different indicators that could be happening at one time. It's not just suspensions don't work, let's do something else. The hope is that restorative practices get to a point where suspensions become non-existent because they're not needed anymore. We all understand what's going on. Making sure that staff take care of themselves. If you have a staff member in a building that's not taking care of themselves, how are they emotionally going to be able to support what we need to do for students? Everyone taking responsibility for the whole district and the school that they're in, and building community. That's a huge one. Our hope is to strengthen the mental health supports that address the needs of children who have experienced the risk of being experiencing significant trauma. That's our hope, that we can have some supports in place that students can take advantage of within the building. We want to make sure that as a school, as a district, that we can identify when some students are struggling, whether it's around mental health issues or some other traumatic events, that there's things that we can notice at a time so that we can get the supports going for them before they become involved in any self-injurious behavior or worse. And again, Washington Elementary, Hillsborough Dairy Elementary, Hillsborough Dairy Middle, Hillsborough Dairy High School, including the alternative program, have already taken the survey. They're breaking the survey up by school, so we will have survey to show you from each building and be able to, once we have that data in those eight components, we'll be able to break down for you what does that mean in every component. The rating scales are 1 through 4. If one of the ratings come out in that one area, it means that you need improvement. A 2 is emerging, 3 is proficient, and 4 is exemplary. So our hope is that most of our scores fall between that 2 and 3, that we're emerging in some areas, but that we are proficient in some of those areas. So once we have that data and we can break it down and be able to report that out to you, we'll have that at another time. We want to make sure that we're able to actually articulate what that data means ourselves before we bring it to you. Any questions about...
Those surveys, are they anonymous, or do you know who they are if you had to drill down?
If they are anonymous, but I can find out who they are if I need to.
If need be.
Yeah.
So you're taking the data, and once you get the data, are you going to be able to use that to draft goals associated with each of those
areas?
Yeah,
what
areas?
That's going to do, it's going to allow us to take a look at professional development. And if there's an area that falls in a 1 or a low 2,
mm-hmm.
okay, why is that? What are we missing?
Okay.
And then develop professional development throughout the year. And the support of Yale University, they have so much online stuff, webinars, curriculum stuff that they can give us to take a look at as well,
mm-hmm.
Which is part of the benefit that we have being part of that program. That it's all free. It's all free things that I can get through Yale to do that with.
So you said SEL time independent from school activities. Is that something you guys are going to incorporate into... I don't want to say classroom time, it's not classroom time, but how are you going to teach, how do you do that?
What we need to do is we need to find activities that allow students an opportunity to share what's going on with them.
Yeah.
One of the activities, really quickly, one of the activities that Joy has done with a group of students on a volunteer basis to pilot it to see what this would look like. I think it's called Circle Time, but I keep calling it Compass. It's a Compass activity.
Mm-hmm.
And they pretty much go around the room, and it's safe. You don't have to answer any questions. And how did your day start today? Were there any stresses? And they go around the room. They either had stressors or they didn't have stressors.
Okay.
Then they talk about it a little bit, and then they go around with another question. They keep going until they've answered as many questions as possible. Joy actually had 2 of the students, a sophomore and a freshman, led that activity with our team leader group prior to the late start that we had going into that meeting. So a freshman and a sophomore led that with adults in the building. So it definitely was something that they felt confident and comfortable with, and it brought some of their leadership qualities out. At the same time, they wanted to do this because they're feeling some struggles as well, and they're able to talk about that in a safe place. So even if it's a 10-minute or a 20-minute time once a week, once a month, to give students an opportunity to engage in some of those activities, there's many, many, many more, but you know, scheduling that time for that to happen. I can tell you, and Josh, jump in on this, during spring fling prior to the April vacation, we created a schedule for Friday because we ended it with a staff student volleyball game. We did a break in between each class. We still had all our classes. We shortened them by about 10 minutes maybe. And in between, we either had a break or we just had some time where students could just hang around with each other and talk to their friends. And we had a more significant time where we, almost like a lunch period where it wasn't lunchtime, but you know, they could have some more interaction time. They could go talk to a teacher. They could go work on some other things. We had 0 issues that day. And walking around that building, I didn't hear one staff member say, "I can't wait till this day is over," and not one student said the same thing. I don't know if you have anyone to add to that, Josh. It was...
Yeah, I heard about the same. It was well received by both students and staff, and I think for... even though it wasn't articulated in the same way, I think it was for at the end of the day, the same underlying reasons. I do feel it.
So just having those breaks in the day for that, you know, take a break from those non-academic tasks,
mm-hmm.
which hopefully in the long run, if this is something we look at doing on a regular basis, will that enhance students' academic achievement or promote that growth because they've got those breaks throughout each block instead of going to class for 3 straight blocks and then lunch, you know, mm-hmm. even our prep RTI block is still an academic component, so they're going all the way, you know, most of the day, and there's not a real break in there for that time to let the brain rest.
I got a question. I know the school has no legal responsibility, but it seems to me that it would be good to encourage seniors who go off to college or wherever. They're going off to a place where they probably don't know many people. They have no relationships with teachers or counselors. Do we reach out to our seniors and say, you know, if things aren't going so well next year, maybe come back and talk to somebody? Because I worry more about those students probably than the seniors, because they have no support group. They're off from their parents and everybody.
We've had individual teachers bring graduated seniors back to talk to their classes. We haven't done a full school or even a class where we've brought graduated seniors in to have a conversation about what's next, what does college look like, what does going into the workforce look like. We have asked students on a number of occasions, and just scheduling issues, it never worked out. But there are teachers that have brought back students that they've made a connection with that have gone away for, you know, the first semester, and they do come back and talk to the students in the class and say, it's not anything close to what I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And those conversations are pretty powerful for the underclassmen to hear, definitely.
I think the other piece of what Paul's getting at too is under the solutions. I mean, a lot of those are very proactive, so you're not just waiting until the suspension.
Right.
You're not waiting until you get cut and you have to put a Band-Aid on. You're addressing it right up front.
Right.
And so in a way, you're setting, you know, it's educating the students and the staff of the supports and the structures available to them, and creating the environment.
Yep.
And hopefully when they get to college, they're going to remember a lot of that.
Right.
So whether or not they come back, or at least then they'll have an idea of how to go about problem solving on their own and finding resources in their current environment.
We definitely need to find a way to understand where some of our students are coming from. Joy piloted this year an alternative workspace. Students have to fill out a form for that alternative workspace. If they're in class and they're just, there's something going on and they can't be in there, they got to come down and fill out this form and have a conversation. Obviously, I'm not going to have conversations about the students, but I can't tell you how many stories that I've had to listen to that are heartbreaking. These are not, you know, they're not avoiding class. These are true, real stories that are heartbreaking. And now some of these students are doing better in class because they have that opportunity to come in for that alternative workspace for a block or for two blocks. Or some students have done it for a day. They've gotten their work done, and they've gotten support while doing their work. They just couldn't be in class that day. We weren't expecting the numbers of students that take advantage of this. So
what is this going to look like in the other three schools? Are you going to oversee all in district? Why do you have a point person in each building?
The principals are the point persons in the building.
Okay.
I will be touching base with them and helping them set up some of those professional development activities.
Mm-hmm.
Just specifically for this.
Mm-hmm.
Probably also reach out to Jen if there's curriculum things that maybe she can, mm-hmm. you know, be a part of.
Yep.
But the principals in the buildings will be the point person for these.
Like I know with the elementary school, they've done a lot of work with responsive classroom in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And they have like morning meeting in most of the classrooms. Is this going to work well with that, or is this going to kind of replace it? Or
I don't think it'll replace it, but if they find that there's activities that they can do during that time, so it's not going to have to create more time. It's how you utilize the time you have now, and do some other activities that might be beneficial for them.
Yeah.
By no means am I going to ask to drive changes in schedules and everything else. I'm really just the one that will oversee the entire SK survey and the resources that the other schools might need. We have a pretty good relationship. I can say in this district, the principals have a pretty good relationship. There's no animosity. I've seen it in other districts where principals can't talk to each other because there's a lot of animosity. That doesn't exist here. So that makes this work not only enjoyable, but it's going to be, you know, good conversation around what do we need to do next.
I imagine all three schools, and even by grade two to a certain extent, will be different because the needs are different. And I know the elementary school, the alternative workspace is sometimes it's just within the classroom.
Right. And we'll be doing this survey two other times. We've already done it once. We'll do it again in September and then again in December. And the research is done in January, and then we're going to have a report out to all of the New England schools. And that'll come from the Yale people. They'll compile all the data and all of the papers that we do and stuff, and they'll send some sort of summary to all the New England schools on what we found, what works, what doesn't work, stuff like that.
Cool.
Thank you. you're going to come back to us after the third survey when it's done, or well, after the first one?
I might not be a bad idea to report out all the data at the times we do it. I mean, it, you know.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
So along with that is a little handout. It's this here. Joy got this from an ASCD conference she went to, and it's on creating a trauma-sensitive classroom. That's not, I'm not going to talk about it. It's just literature for you to take a look at. There's some interesting statistics and stuff in there that might be worth just taking a look at. There's probably some stuff in there you probably never knew. I looked at a few of the things, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
That one, I never thought about that. Being part of this program and, following what Joy's doing with our school, it actually becomes more and more aware of, you know, how accurate the stats and stuff in here are.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, I don't know if you've seen or heard about the Celebrate Ed podcast. It's only been out since May 3rd, and we already have over 600 listeners. We don't have 600 people subscribed to the podcast yet, but 600 people have listened to at least one episode. We've already had contact, have been contacted by two other educational conglomerates in the United States that really focus on education and best practices that want to interview us on what we're doing with our podcast. Really, our podcast was around celebrating education more and more throughout the state, the nation. The negativity around education, and it's not just public education, it's independent schools. There's a lot of negativity about education, and there are some things that need to be fixed in education. Hands down, no doubt, there's things we need to do better, not locally at the state and nationally. But I've listened to some educational podcasts, along with Jessam and Irwin. Even some of the educational podcasts that talk about the positives, they're not really focused on the positives. One of them that I can talk about is Leadership on the Go. I listened to it a few times. It was supposed to be about how to prepare good leaders for schools, and really all they talked about was all the tough decisions you're going to have to make and all the how hard it is to be a school leader. There was nothing around, you know, what was positive about it, what can you celebrate. So this was a thought that we had, and let's take a shot and put it out there, and let's talk about Hillsborough Deering High School first. The first 5 or 6 years as we did our transformation, just to get some of the positives that we did and some of the things that we did. Hopefully other schools say, hey, that worked for them, let's give it a shot. But then reaching out more globally and actually getting guests on the show to talk to us from other schools across the state, nation, and globally to talk about their successes that they've had. And maybe there's something somebody's doing that we didn't think of and it might help us.
Yeah.
So the big piece for tonight for that is, one, to let everybody know about it. You can get it anywhere you can get podcasts. We're on iTunes and Google Play, Google Podcast, Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you can get podcasts. I've already interviewed Ms. Irwin and I talk about why we're doing it. Then Brianna Welch, as a student, as a sophomore, that went through as a freshman and then was a leader going forward. I interviewed Mr. Hassett to talk about coming in at the beginning of our transformation. Our fourth episode was with Nicole LaRoche, who was our grant manager at the time, and has just a huge list of all the activities and timelines that we did. We talked about those. The next episode is with Dr. Crawford to talk about how did we make those things happen as the two leaders in the building. What was the things that we struggled with? What were the decisions we have to make, and how did some of the things we do benefit our entire school? So it's pretty good. I've listened to it a few times. I like to hear myself talk, I guess. coming to you tonight with this because Mr. Hassett has a paper with him. He can talk more about that. But really, what the rights, the intellectual property rights and stuff for us taking this podcast with us. If all of a sudden all of us leave tomorrow, we want to make sure, although we want to talk about Hillsborough Deering, after season one, it's really globally about successes in education. What does that look like? So we really hope the intellectual property rights would be with us going forward from that point forward. So.
I've listened. It's very good.
Thank you. The students wrote the music with
yes.
Jonathan Way.
Yes.
They performed the music on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Natalie Gehrig did the cover art. It took her a while. She wanted it perfect. Jacob Ruthrichie is the tech and sound person, making sure mm-hmm. the equipment is working right. And Justin Irwin is the producer and the editor. We kept it in the school so that everybody's getting involved. We're going to interview students after Ms. Crawford. We're going to interview Josh, and I are going to have a conversation individually. So we're hoping that this gets bigger and bigger. Hopefully in August, I'm going to Rudy Cafele, who's a big author and former high school principal, and then hopefully Brian Mendler sometime in March the following year to come on and help promote some of their books and some of the things they do in schools that's positive. So.
Can you talk a little bit about them for those people that don't know who Cafele or Mendler are?
Baruti Cafele is a former high school principal who pretty much, his leadership style is about relationships and making sure that you're taking care of everybody, making sure the students and staff have a voice, really being able to reflect on yourself and say, is my school a better school because I need it? He wrote a book and that's the title. He has a lot to say in there. If you can stand out front and say that, you're in a good place. If you're questioning some of the things, then you need to reflect on why are those things not being successful. Brian Mendler has written many, many, many books. He's a reformed drug and alcohol addict who was a student in school that probably any teacher I know would have probably tossed him out of class within the first 5 minutes. He challenged his teachers beyond belief. And he turned his entire life around, and now he tells his stories to other educators in a very powerful way. And he jokes about what teachers used to hold him accountable for, and it meant nothing. There was no meaning to why they were doing what they're doing. So he's a pretty powerful speaker, and hopefully he can come on the podcast at some point and talk about that with people, because it's just educators that hear his story. But I think his story can reach many, many, many more people, maybe even outside of education altogether. Specifically kids that might be going through the same thing he went through as a kid or something.
I want to commend Jim for this. We purchased the podcast equipment stuff with the intent of having students use it. And I think it's really tremendous that a principal is modeling that kind of behavior by setting up a podcast. The piece of paper Jim's talking about is the intellectual rights to this, should Jim become rich and famous with this or not. I don't know the answer to that, but I did consult with Ed Kaplan to see if that was an acceptable practice. So that's what the document is that I approve it, and it's certainly up to the board as mm-hmm. to whether or not they approve that that agreement. It seems pretty straightforward. So.
Yep. Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
You going to do the overnight field trip?
The overnight field trip is to, why can't I remember the name of the school now?
Champlain College.
Champlain College in Vermont, Young Writers Workshop. We have one student going this year. This is always that one that we bring to you pretty late in the game, because students have to be selected by the college to go to these, and that student was just selected, so.
Oh, that's this weekend.
That's this weekend, yes. It always happens last week on like a Wednesday or Thursday, so we can only get it to you a few days prior.
The one student goes with their parents, or?
The parents will drive them up and drop them off, and Michelle Prentice will stay with them overnight because it's a two-day. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, business administrator's report, please.
The financial statement was handed out. I did want to touch on the local tax revenues. Deering's April payment came through at the end of the month, and got posted as May 1st, and they have also made their May payment, so we'll see that double revenue stream in the May statement. Hillsborough is behind for April and May. They had contacted me and asked if, as in prior years, if they could have a late payment, because it's in that time period where tax bills need to go out and money is tight. It's happened before. It happened with my predecessors as well. It's kind of a normal thing. So I'm expecting a payment in May. I don't know that it will be a full April and May payment, but it will definitely be April, maybe partial May.
So Daring was posted late. That's all set. Yeah. Hillsborough will at least be April, potentially May. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really nothing else significant, no significant changes. We have amounts encumbered, so it's just moving from expenditure and encumbrance columns. We're working on closing things, so I will have a preliminary snapshot at the next board meeting, for where what we're looking at for the end of the year. So that's about it for the financial statement, unless there are questions. The audit report, I did connect with the auditor today, and we should have that report for the next meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, minutes from April 15th and May 6th. We'll start with April 15th. Just take a peek at them, and then we'll... Does anybody want to make
I'll make a motion to approve the April 15th, 2019 minutes.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Discussion? No discussion on the April 15th minutes? Both the public meeting and a public hearing, and they're not the regular minutes. Hearing no discussion, all those in favor of the minutes for April 15th?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes 5-0. Any opposed? Any abstained? All right, beautiful. Monday, the May 6th meeting minutes. Is there a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Is there a second? Discussion? There's no discussion. All those in favor of the May 6th minutes?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstained? Motion passes 5-0. Okay. Now I go back to my packet. That's the minutes. All right, public comment. Is there any additional public comment at this time? Excellent. No board response. Action items. Is there a motion to approve the appointments, leaves, and resignations?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstained? Motion passes 5-0. We don't need to vote on the second reading. We're just second reading.
Correct. I think is the voting on the 28th of the next meeting.
Yeah, we have to approve it three times.
Okay.
We did vote on it
the last time.
Yeah.
Is there a motion to approve the DAF administration second reading, administration of federal grants fund second reading?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstained? Motion passes 5-0. Is there a motion to approve the overnight field trip to the Hillsborough Deering High School Young Writers Conference in Champlain College for 5/24 through 5/26?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstained? That one passes 5-0 as well. Is there a motion to approve the intellectual property and rights agreement for the Celebrate Ed podcast.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? 5-0. We do need to have a non-public for RSA 91-A32, letter A. Motion to go into non-public?
So moved.
Sorry. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Can you
do the roll call?
Yes. Yeah. Can you do the roll call?
Rich Pelletier?
Yes.
Chris Bobber?
Yes.
Kathy Reagan?
Yes.
Paul Potter?
Yes.
Perla Iodonisi?
Yes.
All right. Motion to seal the minutes?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to seal the minutes.
Yeah, we should, because we talked about
Yeah, we are.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Was there a second on that?
Yes.
Okay.
Any opposed?
No, we have to vote to authorize the superintendent.
We need to vote to authorize the superintendent to act on the board's behalf. Agreed upon in non-public, correct.
Right. So moved. Unless someone else.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Abstain.
Okay. 4-0-1. Okay. All right. That's the first non-public. We have to go back into another non-public?
Yeah, short one.
Okay.
Sorry.
What letter?
It's a student.
Which one's a student? That one. Hiring. Public reputation?
Mm-hmm.
RSA 91A3C. Can you do the roll? Motion to go into non-public.
So moved.
I'm sorry, can I change it to K?
Okay.
I apologize.
Yep.
K is a more accurate.
Okay. Yes. For K.
I'll still move it.
Motion. Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No, we have to do a roll call.
That's what she's doing.
Oh, that's what I'm doing. Roll call.
Carla Iodonisi.
Yes.
Paul Potter.
Yes.
Yes.
Chris Bobber.
Yes.
Rich Pelletier.
Yep.
No. Motion to seal the minutes.
Second.
Wait, I didn't even have a second.
Second.
Yeah.
Oh.
You got two of them.
Okay, sorry.
We have three.
All right, so we're everybody voted. Okay. Motion to adjourn?
No. Motion to seal the minutes.
Motion to seal the minutes. Motion.
Yeah, we did that. Seal the minutes.
I made a motion for that.
Yes, yeah. I know. Yeah. Seal the minutes. Aye.
Aye.
We voted on that.
We didn't vote on that.
Yeah, though. We did. Aye. All right. Motion to seal the minutes. Yeah. Second. All those in favor?
Aye. That's what we didn't do.
Any opposed? Any abstained? Okay. Now can I do motion to adjourn?
Please.
Yes,
motion
so
to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any?
And went into the lawsuit. I wouldn't feel comfortable really in any fashion. And I am concerned about financially what that would cost us with the lawyer.
Yeah.
As much as I agree with what they're doing and as much as